Hey, Bachelor PhD here. It's me and co-host EZR on the line. Co-host Caitlin is out today, so it means that we'll probably squeeze this podcast episode into 45 minutes, if the past is any indicator.
And that's totally fine.
I knew you'd say that. So I'm a little creeped out by Daisy. You know, I've been Team Daisy all along. I think all of us have to some extent. She's charming. She seems smart and funny.
That's going too far. Like, I guess I'm okay with her, the individual, but the concept of her, I have a big problem with.
I don't know. I was creeped out by the Christmas tree farm. I was like, what is this? This is creepy. This is out of some sort of horror film.
It's like a Hallmark Channel movie. What are you talking about?
No, it was
about?
Horrible.
It's like the opposite of that.
No, it was like all these people milling about that she didn't know. And then like, oh, let's put a little something on a little card and put it on the Christmas tree. What is it? What did they call it? The wishing bush?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, wait. You want to be like honest about this. Now, you, like me, probably expected her to live on the farm, but then she lives in like some boring track house.
Right.
And then, you know, like these are the kinds of, like, to be honest about these places, these are the places that you think you want to go to. You spend 15 minutes there and you're like, this is really boring. Why did I want to come here? And then, you know, they have all these activities for the other person who's also bored to kind of act like they're not bored. And so that you act like you're not bored. It was like that, right? I mean, you're taking it to another level.
Yeah, I was like straight up creeped out. And then she's like, the way she was like, oh my goodness, I'm falling in love, but I haven't told him yet. And I think I'm falling in love. And I really like this guy. It was just, it was like, who's that that baby that's in the horror movies? Chucky? He's like Chucky.
Chucky's not a baby. He's a doll. Yeah. Chucky is not a baby.
Well, a baby doll.
Oh my God. Little baby.
She was like Chucky.
Okay, fine.
So there you go. But not to be gang up on Daisy here. Joey.
We'd be the only ones ganging up on Daisy. So don't worry.
We're the only ones. America loves Daisy. Joey didn't say a single thing of substance the entire episode.
Dude, that's funny. You're seeing it from this like complete. No, I agree with you. Hometowns suck. They are boring. They are annoying. And like I said a few weeks ago, you know, hometowns have this now all of a sudden all these this generation of Bachelor contestants for the past couple years and probably for a few more years are going to say their family is the most important thing to them, that blah, blah, blah. You know, they love their whole family and they've always loved them and all they do all night. Every night they come home from school from like, you know, first grade to eighth grade is just sit home and hug. Like, that's what it sounds like, right? That's not true. No one does that. You know, they're so like, it just feels so fake to me. And it wasn't that long ago in Bachelor Nation that a lot of Bachelor contestants opted out of like a hometown. Said like, look, my parents aren't into this. Look, me and my parents don't see eye to eye on things. Like, right. That was okay to say. Now I feel like it's really not okay to say.
Well, I did.
Your
note
mom
that,
better
like
be your best friend.
Like you noted, yeah. I mean, all four hometowns, it was like, oh, my parents are my best friends, or they mean everything to me, which they did. They seemed to. There was no lie there. So I disagree with you a little bit because they didn't manufacture ill will. All of them like get along with their parents just fine.
Get along with their parents is very different from like I don't know. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel.
I mean, Rachel.
As real.
Rachel was honestly nervous. Like I imagine a real world person would be nervous. She seemed the most authentic to me because she was really
nervous. She was
nervous
for like cultural reasons, though.
Yeah.
I think think as any person who's of a different culture than The Bachelor would note, things are a little bit difficult to, you know, square with America, and you have to be nervous on that front. Even if your parents are second generation, third generation, there still might be some issue or whatever, you know, not of the mainstream Bachelor culture.
Right.
Unless you live on a Christmas tree farm, you're not going to be nervous about that's a pretty Daisy had no thoughts on that front, you know, because that's not her where whatever it is lies. Now, you took it as like a creepy thing, which I appreciate the angle. I really
We're back to Daisy.
I'm back to Daisy. I'm staying on Daisy for a while because there was a lot there. So I did not necessarily pick out the Christmas tree farm, but Daisy's mom spoke in bachelorisms, Craig.
I know. Well, she, first of all, there's been some like debate online about whether the vocal fry, whether Daisy's vocal fry comes from the fact that she has a cochlear implant. But her mom had the same vocal fry.
It's not a vocal fry. It's more like a tick. So I have Daisy's mom's greatest hits here because they just hit every single Bachelor. No, they were. It was like watching a parody of The Bachelor.
So the hardest thing for me is that I do see that connection. Mm-hmm. Like I really do. But there's also three other girls. Mm-hmm. So have you guys said I love you to each other?
I feel like Joey truly does love her, but it just seems like she is not being vulnerable to the full extent. So she'll have to get there if they end up going any further, I believe.
And you're afraid to get hurt.
To express to Joey how she's feeling, and I would like her to put the walls down and be vulnerable because if Joey's the guy for her, it will work out. But she has to be vulnerable to make it work.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness.
You're right. Hearing it in a supercut like that really brings it out. She's a mom that's been watching The Bachelor for 28 years.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And studying it and, has her speech down probably when Daisy was born, was watching some, you know, whatever, the Andrew Firestone, and was like, you're gonna be on that show, and was getting her like mom moments down. It is oh my goodness. And the it's not a vocal, I feel like it's a Christmas tree farm tick, like they can't be from anywhere.
Well, did you look up your favorite TV show name for a town, Becker, Minnesota?
No.
The name of the town they're in is called Becker.
Well, I saw that. Yeah, they saw their water tower or whatever.
And that's your favorite TV show.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Play the intro.
Oh, I did not even clock that, Craig. Hold on.
Oh, man.
Who knows where it is?
Have you had your caffeine this morning?
Drinking it right now. Craig, you're distracting me from my point, to be honest.
That's for those that don't know that are listening, that Becker is Itziar's favorite TV show for reasons I cannot understand because I hate not. That show.
No, it is not my favorite TV show. You hate that show, so I had to make a point to watch it more than a few times.
But I looked up Becker. It's like the first town outside Minneapolis metro area. It's not that far from Minneapolis. So just so you know.
Well, great. Well, she made a point. You know, it's so funny how a lot of people claim, especially on The Bachelor, exclusively on The Bachelor, make a point to not be from.
Right.
Suburb, major city. They are from the major city. And they will take them to the major city and be like, this is my downtown. It's like, you live an hour and a half out, but yeah, sure. In this case, she did the opposite, right? She's from this tiny town. I mean, it adds to her lore. So it makes sense. Okay, Craig, Daisy's dad. Flip side of this. Now, this made me, this one was so interesting because Daisy's dad has also been watching The Bachelor for 20 plus years. But he has not retained anything. And I feel like in the last week before this was filmed, the mom gave him a harsh talking to, gave him the whole rundown of how to speak. And he's there cowering in a corner saying, yes, dear. Okay, yes. What do I say? And no wonder Joey gets such a, many men get such a pass. Because the way the things he says are like, are you, you know, did you just arrive like back in this country from being in Siberia, like Siberian jail for 30 years? Let's I don't think you clocked this because it was pretty brain dead.
So you're putting up the wall because you're afraid of getting hurt. I totally get that. And I'd probably do the same thing. I think it's totally normal.
Yeah.
You don't know what next to get hurt. And you're really putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
But if you really want it to work, you're going to have to see if you can get past that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that you're falling in love with him, I think it's a no-brainer.
Oh my god.
Damn, he's got mad vocal fry too, man.
Did you still know what he's... After that, she said, my dad's the best. He just gets me. And am I like living in crazy world? Like, this is the most mundane, boring ass, like, you know, run of the mill, anything you could have. I feel like I had real conversations with my dad. We talked about emotions and stuff, but like, it wasn't like this.
I was wild. Just listening to the vocal fry.
Not, I know you were on both, but after that scene, they cut to Daisy. Well, after that, actually, them talking, she cried. And then they cut to her, and she was like, my dad is the best. And I was like, he just said nothing. He said nothing with saying the exact same thing he was supposed to say. This is no wonder men have such a low bar. It was boring. I mean, I don't know. I don't see much there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Continue. Any other thing about Daisy's family? Because I have to tell you something about what I think about Daisy as a concept. Not Daisy as a human. We don't want to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I always thought Daisy was the front runner, but now I would have kicked her off, man. I was so creeped out that I think Kelsey's the front runner now.
No, she's up
for Joey.
Daisy's absolutely the front runner. And it goes with everything else we've said, that Daisy is number one. I mean, she's the housewife, and the rest of them are, including Maria, are the sex picks. I mean, but Maria, you know, for reasons we will discuss soon, didn't make it.
Right.
Okay, so...
So what's your big theory on Daisy?
Okay, so come into my little corner here, Craig, here. Let's see. My conspiracy corner. Well, let's just call it like my theory corner. I don't know.
What the? What the hell was that?
Okay.
Do you was remember that? That was Massacre from 120 Pig minutes? Or whatever that band is you like.
Massacred Pig. Good job, Craig. I like your style there. No, it's remember that show 120 minutes that was on at night.
No.
MTV.
I didn't have MTV Unreligious. When I was growing up. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just to recap, I think Joey is disingenuous and calculating, right? Even for The Bachelor, even for reality TV, like putting that part below us, he's even more calculated. I felt like he did it on charity season, and there was parts during his hometown and during his last date that where he like kind of let go of his own plot for a little bit because he was scared of winning. He almost got Greg Grippo'd, but he pulled through. Charity chose him. It's great. Good for him. Now, I also postulated that Daisy is perfect for what Joey's looking for, right? A blonde to build his empire with, but she has the right amount.
Everyone has postulated that. Everyone postulated that.
Well, right, but she's also, but like it can't just be that. It has to have, she has to be the right amount and the right kind of adversity, which she has.
Right.
Okay. But like we said that on week two. I don't think anyone really said that on week two.
Right.
And then also, the show is playing out and he, like, it became very boring for me because you know who his. We thought we knew who his top three or two were back in week two. And so what he's doing is he's letting these women become stars. I mean, and Maria is a gigantic star, right?
Right.
Now, you know, like, let me add another layer here. You know that I love to read, like, wonky policy books, right?
Okay.
Okay, well, I just read one called The Two-Parent Privilege. Now, you can kind of put together what it's about. It's about how two-parent households do so much better than non-two-parent households and why that is. But here's what I really liked about this book, Craig, is that the author's presentation of her argument is, like, devoid of she's flipping it to make it not political, right? Because if I said, if you told Americans, or if I said this on NPR or something, you have to have two parents in the household or your parents or your child is going to not do well. That's not going to go well. That's not going to go over well with virtue signaling Americans, right? They will go crazy on you. So like what I really took from this book is the way you say things in America is so much more important than what you actually say.
Right.
Right. And so like to me, Daisy is a concept. Like she is beautiful, but she also has this adversity. So like the American pathology here is that you Americans are like the believe that they are the baseline for culture, right? We're the most moral. We're the most important humans that ever lived. We're the arbiters of right and good and truth. And we're perfect human. We're the end of the road for humanity. And everyone else is propagandized, except Americans. So this disease that she had, especially like I feel like cancer really personifies this. You have to conquer it and you have to feel strong and you have to defeat it. And I want to say that this, you know, is like America's way of thinking, that this is the correct way of thinking. So anyways, long story short is that this is why Joey will pick her, because he's calculated and she has the perfect, the correct disease, the right thing. And she is, it's like, I don't know.
It's virtue signal proof.
Yes, yes, it is. Exactly. And even the little comments that she's made about how someone might make fun of her, or like the only real truth I saw that I actually liked from her family, like speaking of like being creepy and stuff, is that they said, well, at least if he doesn't love you, you won't go deaf because of it. I'm like, oh, that's actually like a cute truth thing. You know, love is not the end of the world as The Bachelor makes it sound.
Right.
So I just want to put all that out there as we go forward and see Joey and see how he handles Fantasy Suites, because he's going to have to handle it one way or another. And I think that will go into what I think happened to Maria here. Anyway.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Can we pull it in all together? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a strong case for Daisy that it's a strong case on top of already being a strong case. I mean, you're expressing, I mean, we already know that she's like this perfect Bachelor contestant and probably would be a perfect Bachelorette lead, I should say. Yeah. And you're laying out the case why.
Right. And I feel like in week two, there was a lot of resistance about what we were saying. There was a lot of criticism about.
I was watching Bachelor Data. I was watching Bachelor Data's Instagram. Daisy reached some milestone, like 300,000 followers, faster than anyone has ever followed anyone. Like in the history, as long as Bachelor Data has been tracking
right, Instagram but isn't followers, that,
Daisy is the fastest to 300,000.
Does that prove our point here as opposed to Bachelor Nation's point?
No, I think it proves that Bachelor Nation has always been on Daisy's side for the reasons that you've outlined.
Right, but Bachelor Nation thinks that this is an organic love story. And I'm trying to say in so many words that it's not, maybe Daisy is being genuine. I don't actually doubt that. But I doubt that Joey is. I highly doubt that Joey's being
genuine. I just have a hint of doubt because I think Kelsey might be the pick. We'll see. Obviously, we'll see. But
Okay.
That's all.
But I just think that also that, you know, the fact that Daisy does not, you know, she has this like great story is so, you know, it's like red meat for the audience, but it's also money signs for everyone else.
Yeah.
Is like kind of this dystopian thing, right? It's like not a good thing. So.
Well, did you catch Kelsey? Okay, we were going back and forth over previous episodes about when her mom died. Last night, she said her mom died 2 years ago.
10 years.
No, 2 years ago, she said last night.
I don't know what she said, but there's a post of her having died 10 years ago.
Yes, but last night, the point. She said two years ago.
Well, that's weird. Maybe we all heard it wrong.
The internet got it wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who do you believe? True.
I think so it was a while.
Is 2 years within your everyone dies or with is it is 2 years enough time to be up?
I mean,
to go on The Bachelor.
A parent dying at any time before you're kind of 25 is a hard thing to get over, even at 40 or 35. No, it's not really that easy. So I give her a pass. I mean, she does talk about it a lot and she refers to it a lot, which is something I don't know that I would do but it's good for The Bachelor. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's the same. It's in the same vein as the Daisy thing. You kind of have to, you need that. I mean, in a regular relationship, is it healthy to talk about it that much? No. Or think about it that much? No. But on The Bachelor, it's great. It's Bachelor chum, you know? It's like what they want.
Yeah.
I wasn't too interested. Anything about Kelsey's that you saw? Because I was kind of like checked out.
I don't know. I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't like spicy or there were no like evil parents or anything, but I thought it was okay to watch. I don't know. She kept saying y'all, which was interesting.
Okay.
It's like she got into the South, into Louisiana, and started speaking like a Louisianan. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, I guess.
Rachel's family. Anything that stands out to you there?
They seem loving and they seem interesting. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting party they threw. I would have had fun in it. In contrast to Daisy's tree farm, which I was freaked out about, I was kind of like thinking that Rachel's family party would have been fun.
Yeah, there was a lot of, it was very, like a lot of normal there. And it they didn't quite explain why they didn't go to Hawaii or why they didn't. Continental U.S. flights are cheaper, and so they flew everyone out. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Have you been to Rancho Cucamonga? Have you ever been to a Quakes game?
No, not the second thing, but I've been to that town. Yeah, it's okay. A weird town. I agree.
Well, the Dodgers single A affiliate plays the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, and
talked about this.
I've been to a few Quakes games.
Well, that'd be fun. I would do that. I'll do that with you, Craig. You know what? I didn't want to bring this up, but there's this great Bass Pro Shop there. Do you know what the Bass Pro Shop is?
Yes.
It is. It has like scenery.
Dioramas.
Yes, dioramas. Exactly. Like the Natural History Museum, except in a store in Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Maria. Okay. Her family.
See, one of my love languages is physical touch. So I would have been loving Maria because she just could not keep her hands off him. Like her way of expressing herself is to make out with him constantly.
Speaking of creepy hometowns, like your Christmas tree farm, they were watching home movies outside while the whole family peeked through the window.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think that was a little bit... What was up with that?
That was a little weird. Yeah, they should have just come out and watched it with them. Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, it was like there wasn't enough space out there. Yeah. You know what I think it is? And I don't want to get too much into Maria's head here because I feel like I do understand her very well. But I think people who are likable on TV, you're supposed to feel like you understand them very well. But I really think this is the reason that she did not want her parents to see her PDA with Joey.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Oh, really? Of course? It's that easy?
No, I just assumed that part of the reason that they were outside was so they could make out without being in front of the family.
But I feel like a lot of Bachelor contestants go home and meet during hometowns, and there's a lot of, like, weird PDA. Remember Gary and Faith?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just the youngins. It's everybody. They do this weird PDA in front of everyone. In front of their grandchildren, Craig. That's like the most
recent. Yeah,
that's true. Mean that's it. Okay, I thought that was weird, and I think that might be the reason, but I thought it'd be kind of an out there reason, but you're acting like it's not an out there reason. I'm done with that.
What do you think of that she's never brought a guy home, and she's 30?
I think it's for the exact same reason that she does not want. It's weird to bring your boyfriend home unless you're pregnant.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whoa, wait, that escalated quickly.
Same mentality. Yes.
Unless you're pregnant. What?
I think we've said this before, but there is something very strange about saying this is my boyfriend if you're like 17 or 15 or 22. You know, it's like, how long is this going to last?
Surely Mark met your family before you were pregnant. Or is that not true?
No, he actually did. Right.
Yeah,
but like, it wasn't like the way they're saying it is different than what I'm saying. Right.
How? How's it different?
I mean, okay. If I said, oh, hey, this is Mark versus, oh, this is my boyfriend. Everybody, I just want you to know that I love him very much. He means like this is the Bachelor we're talking about. This is how they want things to happen. So you never know what exactly they mean. They mean present him.
Right. Don't
they? Don't you think? Okay.
Well, if not,
are we clear on the line?
Let's just use this Mark thing as an example. You said, "Hey, here's Mark." She could have done the same thing in past relationships too. We don't know, but she didn't.
Right. That's exactly what I think she has. I think she's been like she doesn't invite them to dinner. you know, but she'll say said, like, hey,
yeah. here's Fred. Okay.
Yeah. Fred's right there. Oh, this is my dad. Okay. Bye. You know, she lives at home. Well, you don't think so?
I don't know. This is too funny.
I mean, I don't think she's purposely kept them away from each other. But I don't think she's brought anyone home to eat dinner and like, hey, this is possibly my future husband. We're almost engaged. Yeah, like I can see
I'm pregnant.
Yeah, well, Craig. Yes, that would definitely have been me if I had gotten pregnant earlier. You know, if I'd gotten pregnant at like 22, I'd have been like, oh, hey, this is this guy. I'm pregnant now.
Right.
Like, I guess I gotta go. You know, I just don't have that. Like the way they all talk to each other about love and stuff, like, ooh, weird. Yeah. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's fine in the hypothetical, but in the real, oh my God, I would never have done that.
Right.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. So what's your big spiel on Maria?
Got cut. No, okay. What happened last week was very impactful to Joey, right?
Right.
He did not like the test that she put forth, which was chase after me, come get me, tell me that you love me and that you want me around, and I'm gonna leave. I'm threatening to leave.
See, that would have worked right? on me.
Yeah, I don't know if it would. But I think it was a power control thing. He is the Bachelor, everybody. Yeah. And he is, to me, Maria was too volatile for him. And yeah. Nothing is more important to Joey than his reputation. And he knows that whatever he does on this show will stay with him for the rest of his life. So even that sex with Maria is not worth it.
Mm.
Would it be worth it to you? Hypothetical you, Joey, you the man.
Well, here. I already said that one of my love languages is physical touch. So I would have been like eating it up with a spoon, this Niagara date. So I would have kept her around. Yeah, I think so.
I would have kept her around. But like he knows that the Bachelors, the leads,
yeah,
have never come out on top when they absolutely take the sex bait, the sex pick bait.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I don't commend him. I think it makes him, in my eyes, even more calculating, even more disingenuous. But I do kind of respect the restraint, because you don't really see a lot of men with restraint on this show. So here is Maria and Joey breaking up in the Maddie Peter ultimatum hanger.
Had a bumpy road, but you know I've fought for you every time, and I've chosen us, and I've tried everything in my power to get to the point of continuing to see a future. And I went into hometown with you very open and ready to see what came next, and you said everything I needed to hear. And even though you didn't say what you said tonight, I hope you know that, like, I was trying my best to get there. I felt like it would be dishonest to you to move forward with the amount of doubts that I have. So I don't know if that helps. I'm doubt that it does. I just wanted to be honest and tell you how much you mean to me, how much this has meant to me, and how much I care for you and how tough this is. But it feels wrong in some ways. It's tough.
No.
I love how she's just like, okay.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, and she's very smart and not talking there. And that's part of her volatility, that because Joey couldn't predict the volatility, I think he found it best just to cut her. And I think he knows that Rachel will respect the fantasy suite silence, right? Uh-huh. Whether they have sex or they don't have sex, which is actually to me way more likely, she will say nothing because she's a lot more predictable. And so are the other two. Maria is too much of a character for him to like really peg. And I think he, when he saw that, like he saw that the risk wasn't worth the return on investment. Right. He's like, this person is going to take off without me. Better cut her before the fantasy suites.
Yeah.
That sucks for her. Because I think she could have had like a bargaining chip had she made it fantasy suites. And she would have told the truth about Joey. And I really wanted to see, you know, like the theory in action, my theory in action. But maybe we'll find out from someone else. We don't know. We still haven't. We're still kind of in the middle here in my eyes.
I love how they're at an airport for private jets, which is what, probably Van Nuys Airport or something. And yet they're still going to fly coach wherever they go next. Did they say where they're going next? I tried to
Tulum, Mexico.
Oh right, Mexico. That reminds me. When they jump off, some ledge into the water. I swear we've seen that location before.
Yeah.
So they're going back to a place they've already been. Maybe.
Well, they're trying to really market the cenotes, even though those are like cultural heritage sites. I don't know if they're officially, but they're very important, even to the ecology. Let's just say not even culturally. They are important culturally, but to the ecology. So it really scares me whenever they show these, because I'm like, you can't just go to like a fancy, you know, to us, it looks like just some fancy rock in Australia. And it's like, that's a cultural important heritage site. Please stop. You know, Instagram vacationing there.
What's a cenote?
So that's what happened. Maria's a huge
star. What's a cenote?
That's what I said.
You said the cenotes are
big. I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying that they're both the Australian rock, the cenotes in Mexico.
But what is a cenote?
It's an underground formation from like an asteroid, and they all kind of connect up and they go very deep. So it's like an underground water cave.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like a place I'd want to go and take Instagram photos of.
Tourism will kill us if in the small scale, like big scale, you know, British Petroleum, small scale tourism.
Right. Yes. You just hit the nail on the head there. Cans.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Hey, Craig, you got me off my thing. Or what?
Sorry.
Were you just going to say
something about Maria? Okay. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So Maria is this huge star, right? She's more of a star than, like, if we say that every single season there's a star, Maria is more than just that.
She
is like powerful.
Twitter is all over her. They want her to be the Bachelorette, which I think would be cool too.
See, this is weird. The Bachelor does not like picking. I don't want to say beautiful. It's not about beauty. It's like extremely attractive, extremely desirable women as Bachelorettes. Now we all, well, I mean, we know why, because the Bachelorette is a proxy for the audience.
Right. Right. And so if you have somebody too beautiful or too desirable, then the audience won't relate to her, and then the show will lose ratings.
Yeah. And the only distinction here is this: she's extremely likable. I think she's likable, but then again, I guess I don't have a huge handle on what the audience wants. But I my case I can make for her is that Emily Maynard, former Bachelorette, beautiful, desirable, and likable. made her, and wholesome, which is different than Maria. I mean, Maria is wholesome, actually, with all the things. If we were just to take everything she said at face value, she's never bought a man home. Her family is all together. Also, they kept giving her family that Italian mob music, which is obviously Greek. Yeah. Like, why?
Is there a Greek mafia? Is there a Greek mafia? I've never seen a movie with a Greek mafia, but I'm sure it exists.
I think the mafia thing is about immigration. Like, there has to be one where you live somewhere where you're not used to. Right? Like, gangs. Unrelated. So if there's ever a big Greek displacement, which there has been, but not in, like, in the industrial age, then maybe they're... Look, Craig. Unrelated. They're playing Italian music. That's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
They're playing, like, Italian, you know, Godfather music.
Right.
Now, again, I lost my place. Anyway, she's highly desirable. No, but Natalie Maynard.
Is that the Godfather?
That's
trying to sing the Godfather. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
It was more
interrupt you.
Soprano-y.
Yeah. I've never seen The Sopranos. Can you believe that?
Me neither.
Oh, okay.
I do because I haven't either, and I'm not interested in ever watching it. On the other hand, The Wire I'd like to see someday. I'd like to see some other things that I...
Whoa, you've never seen The Wire? Wow,
you know what?
Heavy.
I saw the first episode and it wasn't that captivating to me, so I just kind of stopped watching it. I did watch the first episode on ex-co-host Chris's recommendations. Okay.
Well, the Sopranos ushered us into the golden age of television. So you'd watch that for historical reasons.
Where did you read that, Craig? Time Magazine?
No, that's the truth.
I know. I don't care, though. Do I care? I don't like any of those shows, almost. Golden Age of television shows.
Oh, so you don't like Breaking Bad. Oh,
you're going to say Breaking Bad.
I'm easier. I'm the only person in the world that doesn't like Breaking Bad.
I like a ton of critically acclaimed shows. I just don't like that one show that I knew was the next show you were going to say. You know what I spent a lot of time on is Boardwalk Empire. Does anyone ever talk about that show anymore? No, because it probably wasn't that good. I don't remember anything about it. I remember it was like huge set design.
Do you watch Succession?
I love Succession. You know that's my favorite show.
Well, it's everyone's favorite show. So.
But it's so good. And also, you know, I love the Murdochs and Redstone. Like, you know, I love how America, well, I'll tell you my theory on it. America only has the Kennedys. Everyone wants to be ruled by monarchs, and like dynasties of like Trumps and stuff love,
right?
They have such an interesting, you know, people are drawn to it. So I don't know. Anyways, the Murdochs have an interesting story. I mean, it's obviously explicitly based on the Murdochs, but I think Summer Redstone, the CBS guy, is, or the Paramount guy, whatever.
Very interesting. Are you still talking about Succession?
Unrelated. Yes.
Okay.
Because it's based on so many different families that are like cross, you know, that are, you know, the Murdochs are from Australia and they took over, like completely wiped out the British good press in the 80s. And then they did it to America. Like they're just stomping around doing their thing. Okay.
Okay.
Maria is, would be a great bachelorette. Because men would be interested in her, and that's the problem that the Bachelor has, is that the Bachelorette has, the Bachelor franchise has, that they haven't been able to draw men in based on the women they choose to be the Bachelorette. But, you know, I don't know if she has Bachelorette quality. You know, it's been so long having these, like, ho-hum Bachelorettes. That I don't think she has bachelorette qualities as defined by the ho-humness of the previous bachelorettes, right? Like, the bachelorette should be some, like, amazing, beautiful, attractive person, but it
just like the bachelor, it hasn't been.
That's true. That's actually very true. It's very difficult. They haven't done a good job of it. So you agree she should be.
Oh, I think I think Maria would be awesome as a bachelorette. Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Maria, or let's just say Daisy, let's just forget whether she wins or loses. Do you think it between Maria and Daisy?
If you had asked me yesterday, would Daisy be cool? I would have said yes. But after watching that date, her hometown date, I'm like, no way. Too freaked out. No, seriously.
So
I think she's like really creeping me out. I got the ick. But Maria would be awesome.
Okay. I don't know if she has. I'm not even sure she wants to get married. You know, like, I think that's the problem here.
Who, Maria?
Is that we're looking for her boyfriend. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't doubt she likes Joey, but I don't think she's as serious about all the other stuff. So, I don't know. I think she's amazing. I think she's awesome. I think she's beautiful. I think she could do anything in the world. I don't think she should settle for the bachelorette. Basically what I'm saying.
Right. Totally unrelated. Maria and Daisy, we've talked about this before on the podcast, where it's like, are men generally really that awful? Because all it takes is a bachelor saying a few sweet nothings to them, and they get all, like, falling in love with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joey has not said anything of substance, yet he's kind, he's polite, and he says some compliments here and there, and the girls just totally fall for that, you know. So it's like, are men generally that awful that all
you don't
it takes
have to
is
convince? Well, look, Joey is his own thing. Joey has the ability to say nothing with so many things, right? And people just go, wow.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Are men generally that awful that all it takes is a guy being, like, slightly nice and then a girl will fall for you? This is an existential question,
I think so. I think so. I know that. See, like, I know that it's true. I know that I've heard absolutely nothing sometimes, and I will confront that, but I don't think a lot of people think to confront it. And that's the problem with these. And I think that's the problem when people on The Bachelor say their parents are so amazing. I'm like, if your parents are so amazing, how come they never warned you about guys like this who are about to break up with you tomorrow?
We're talking about, like, two separate things. You're talking about Joey. I'm talking about the general man. The general man is, like, I would imagine someone. Like, beautiful.
I mean, is
women,
this a layup? Yes. I don't know.
Like, they're beautiful women who are smart and funny and have all these attributes and whatnot. I would expect that men would be on their best behavior whenever around them, because that's, like, what culture has taught us to do. So, like, are men really not that nice to women in general, because all it takes is Joey saying a few nice things and they fall in love with them? Do you get what I'm saying?
I mean, my like, jokey answer is yes, but my real answer is that this is The Bachelor. They're all so excited to be on TV, and they're all so excited to, like, watch their viewer, their whatever, their count go up. They are, you know, crawling over each other, trying to make sure Joey is saying the right things, even when he is not. It's very hard to be strong in this situation. And in real life, I think women know they hold a lot of power. And if guys aren't being great, they're pretty good about getting rid of the guy. And it's so funny, because this is real life stuff. Much like everything else in life, it's your parents. You know, you can blame schools all you want, but it's the parents. You can blame the boyfriend all you want, but it's the parents. Mm-hmm. So parents at home need to teach and need to, like, spend time with your kid. Not everyone's going to do things for you. And I think that if we ever see, like, a weak, vulnerable woman, getting taken advantage of by a man, the problem starts at home. So I think the bachelor layer complicates it for us. This is my real answer. But my fake answer is men are horrible. Yeah. All right. What do you want me to say to that? You know, I can't really like answer.
I said a few podcast episodes ago that I'm subscribed to 2X chromosomes on Reddit, which is like a woman support Reddit. Like it just came subscribed for me, but I like it's got interesting content on it. But you read those and it's like men are complete scumbags. Just in general, the way that men treat women on dates is awful. I mean, if these stories are true, they have no reason not to be. It's like men are just complete assholes.
Men play the odds and women nest, you know? Like, I think that's something we all have to take in mind, like, you know, put in our heads when we go out and try to find someone is like, you know, men are going to go fast and women are going to be like, let me think about this. Let me spend my time here and find out if this is right or not. And I think that wastes a lot of time. okay. Where were we? Daisy, Maria, Kelsey, Rachel. I don't know.
Well, I'm curious about these fantasy suites. I want to know who gets them, what goes on.
And like I said, I think he picked women that there's not going to be any surprises after the fact, right? He picked women that he's like will be very respectful of the whole process. Right. And I think that is the good choice in real life. But with what I think of Joey already, I think it's a calculating choice. But I am very interested as to why they haven't talked about Joey's dad yet. And when they do get to that part, will they talk about Joey's dad? We have not talked about Joey's gay dad. This seems relevant.
We haven't talked about anything Joey. He's never said, I mean, obviously it could be edited out when he does, but he's literally never said a single thing about himself. And we say this every year, but I think even more so this season, we just don't have anything to go on when it comes to Joey.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we haven't seen it before. But anyway, I take your point but maybe it's all a ploy to conceal his dad. Like, it's just very strange. You know, they made it into his sob story last season, which you normally carry over. If Kelsey became the bachelorette, if Daisy became the bachelorette, you can bet we'd be hearing about her mom and a cochlear implant every week. So what's the deal here? Anyway, okay.
Joey just doesn't want to talk about it.
You guys did not mention this. He wore a gold chain when they went into that hot tub last week. now, to me, if I was Daisy, I would put my clothes back on and walk off the set and be like, I am done here. I am no longer interested in this man. But it goes. I don't know.
People are okay with it. What about what Daisy was wearing for her hometown date? She was wearing ripped jeans and a like a knit sweater thing.
Like a knit short sweater. Yeah. That like obviously was supposed to look like a gigantic sweater that got knit short because it was pushed back so that the V-neck was not like a true V-neck. It was like the middle of the hole of the neck. Mm-hmm. The middle neck hole. I actually have sweaters like that, but not.
I would have said something. I would have been like, if I were Joey, I would have been like, dude, you're on a TV show. This is what you're wearing.
I kind of agree with you. It was not a good TV show look, especially the ripped jeans.
Yeah.
Like it looked like it was ripped.
She looked
from
like
cutting
she looked
down.
Like she was going to go to the mall. You know, she was going to go to like the. What's a mall? What's the mall here in LA in the Valley? Can't think of it. The Galleria, something Galleria. Uh-huh. Yeah, she looked like she was going to go with her friends to the Galleria for the day. That's the kind of thing you wear.
Their mall is their mall is her own Christmas tree farm.
That's no, their mall. Their mall is the Mall of America.
Isn't that? Oh yeah, that's right.
That's in Minneapolis.
Isn't that weird that they kept taking these like these, you know, face shots of her friends, like shoulder up, just their faces.
Right.
Not saying anything. Not saying much. Okay, great. We're done here.
Okay. Follow us on social media. Leave us a review on the Apple podcasting app. And we'll be back next week with Caitlin. The three
would
of us
will
be back.
Would you wear a gold chain? Would you?
Into the hot tub? No.
Anywhere. What is this? What's going on here? Anyway. Okay.
Probably not. I'll say that. Okay. Leave that question open. All right. See you later.
Bye.